Welcome to Awake to Oneness Radio. I am Caroline Kang, your host. The mission of Awake to Oneness Radio is to inspire the world to awaken to the universal truth of oneness. Science is now teaching us that everything is energy. All life is energy. And that energy is interconnected and interdependent. In essence, that energy is one thing. Ancient wisdom and spirituality has been teaching the truth of oneness for eons. And now science, quantum physics, is also teaching the truth of oneness. And this science of quantum physics is not new science. This science is over 100 years old. This is science that everybody on the planet should know by now and understand that we are truly, literally all one. We're all connected. And when mankind awakens to the universal truth of oneness, there will be peace on earth. Today's show topic is The Next Step with Pam Gregory. Welcome, Pam, to Awake to Oneness Radio.
Thanks so much, Caroline. Thank you for having me. Lovely opportunity to speak with you.
Thank you. I've been listening to Pam's YouTube channel and I just fell in love with her and had to invite her to be my guest. Thank you. So now we are in 2020. Every day I keep saying we're in it. We're in 2020, the year of clear vision. So I know, I feel in my heart and know that big things are going to happen this year. But please, Pam, please share your journey of awakening, your journey with the listeners.
Right. Well, it started a very long time ago. After university, I emigrated to Toronto in Canada. I happened to join a yoga class, and there was a guy there that somebody else said he's an astrologer. So at the end of the class, I went up to him and said, look, I know nothing about this subject, but I'd love you to do my chart. So I saw him the following weekend, and I spent about 7 hours with him.
Wow.
Like it was yesterday, I can remember sitting in his tiny flat in Toronto, and it's like the world had just cracked open to reveal this dimension of meaning that I'd been completely unaware of until that point. And he not only analyzed my natal chart and could tell me, you know, a lot of things about me, but also went back in history, told me about various events in the past, my relationship with parents, my work life, you know, so much detail. And that was really the beginning. And I haven't stopped since, really. And that was a very long time ago. But what was bizarre was, I'm just trying to remember the year, as part of the recording, he said September the 8th, this particular year, which was 5 years later, would be a very significant time in my life, a big high in my life.
Okay.
And I lost the recording over the years, and eventually I decided to return to England from Toronto. I was packing up my flat, packing up boxes, and I found the recording. So I put it on to play while I was packing boxes, and it said September the 8th will be a major turning point in your life. And that day was September the 8th.
Oh my goodness, wow.
And he'd mentioned another date just a couple of months later when I was sitting at 19,000 feet in the Himalayas. And that would be a high point. So I thought, there's definitely something in this, you know, there's definitely something in this. So I got back to London. I sort of taught myself quite a bit in Toronto, but it's such a vast subject. You have to have structured teaching.
Yes.
So I started with the Faculty of Astrological Studies in London. I was working full time, but weekends and evenings. Took me about 8 years to get my diploma.
Mm-hmm.
Of really solid work. And then I went on to do a master's course with a brilliant astrologer in America. He was very sadly just a month ago just passed away, which is he was a brilliant man, and I was very lucky to study with him and got my master's course as well, my master's qualification. But I learn every day. I have not stopped learning in the last 45 years. I learn every day. It's fast.
Yes, I understand. I agree. Well, I know that everything is connected. So of course, the positioning of the planets and all of that astrologically is connected because we're all connected. But I've had many guests. I've had channels, I've had psychics, I've had mediums. You're only the second astrologer that I've had as a guest. And my other, this was back in 2016, she kind of, you know, she asked me for, you know, my basic information, place of birth, day of birth, time of birth, which I happen to have all that because I happen to have the hospital certificate. Now, it's not the official birth certificate, but I have my hospital birth certificate. I have my baby footprints on it. So it has that time of birth. And then she gave me, on air, during the show, she was giving me a reading. And then she had to like, wait a second. And she blurted this out, big thing out that's supposed to happen. Now, this was in 2016, but something big is supposed to happen in my life. The end of 2020 going into 2021. So now we're in 2020 and I keep thinking about that. And I do have that recording because it was in the show. So I do go back and listen to that. So it wasn't, she didn't give me a particular day, but she said the end of 2020 going into 2021. So I was, I'm still like, okay. But also I remind myself, especially now that we're in 2020, is to stay present. And to, I even wrote in my journal today a new word, savor every moment. Look for the nuggets of blessing in every now moment and stay in that frequency. So not to be in anticipation for the future, because in truth, there is no future, there is no past, there's just the now. The Power of Now is one of my favorite books. And yeah. So one of the things I want to do, especially for this year, is to ground myself in the now and being thankful for the now and looking for those nuggets of blessing in each now moment.
I really agree. It's a fabulous way to live, and it's a very empowered way to live, because the only power is in the now, is in the moment. There's no power in the past, there's no power in the future, it's only now, because it's the ever-present now. Exactly. And I talk so often in my videos about coming back to stillness, coming back to silence, having a spiritual practice. And in the last couple of videos, I talked about the symbolism of this beautiful centaur called Chariclo, who in myth was the wife of Chiron. And she just has this exquisite energy, the divine feminine, who can just hold sacred space to enable healing for others. Mm-hmm. She has wisdom. She has direct connection to source. She very much reminds me of the Buddhist infinite ground of being, that permanent, silent, still state, that she can hold that anchor. Yes. You know, whatever turbulence is happening in the outside world. And that things come to us as humans when we are ready to integrate that consciousness. So, you know, with the other much more yang energies astrologically that are happening in the world, if we can tune into Chariclo, because energy wants attention, and make her our focus, then, you know, we are turning inwards and finding our inner power rather than just. It's almost like being the rubber hits the road, you know, events are knocking us, the news, what's happening in the world, you know, it's big stuff at the moment, and we can easily get knocked off course if our focus is outward.
Yes.
If our focus is inward, this is a much quieter place to be.
Yes.
I agree, yes, 100%, and that's where everyone's focus has to be to navigate the next couple of years well, I think.
I think you're absolutely right. But let's go. I think we jumped ahead. Let's go back. So it's been 45 years and you have your master's degree. And I understand there's so much more to understanding astrology than just reading our sun sign every day. Yes.
If it was that easy, it wouldn't have taken me 45 years.
Of course. So please share your journey some more with us.
Yes, so I got back to London, as I say, and I was working. I actually worked in the corporate world for 35 years. For 20 years of that 35, I was running my own business, training management people, traveling all over the world, you know, America, India, Thailand, Australia, all over the world. But still, there was this burning passion of astrology. Yes. Every spare moment I had, evenings, weekends, with friends, whatever, I would, you know, I would throw myself into that study because I realized how vast it was. I realized it was going to take me a lifetime to become competent, because I really think it does. I think it takes many, many years to become competent. So every summer I went up to Oxford University. They have an ancient college called Jesus College, which is just hundreds, and I think it's 10th century originally.
Okay.
I feel the wisdom of that place. And I used to go up every summer to their summer school and spend a week up there with some world-class teachers. In all of my astrology, I had world-class teachers. Gotcha. And just deepened and deepened and deepened my knowledge. And then I did the master's degree. But it's really been over the last few years that I've started to do my own research. I've started to do my own digging. And I'll keep digging till the day I die.
Right. Yeah, it's your passion. It's what you're meant to do. It's why you're here.
And I'm sure I've done it, you know, many times in before as well. It isn't just in this lifetime. I think the pattern repeats, you know. I
have
a very strong sense about that. So, you know, I love what I do. It helps people enormously because it's a very practical framework, but it's a highly spiritual framework as well, because you can use the energies at different levels. You can use it just at the practical level,
right?
Or say, how can I live this to the highest level? How can I shift my frequency to the highest level? So that's what I encourage people to do. So really my study was all the way through. I stopped working in the corporate world, or I don't know, 15, 16 years ago, and really threw myself kind of pretty much 14, 16 hours a day, 7 days a week into astrology. And it is just nonstop, because I think the need for help and guidance is so strong out there.
Yes.
There's such a strong need. But, you know, it is just, it is such an amazing modality that can pinpoint specific issues in childhood that ricochet on through adult life, that putting a light bulb on those, in a moment, you can shift someone's perception of how their life has operated.
Exactly.
And, you know, you can have those real aha moments, many, many of them in a client session. And I think it's almost unparalleled as a modality to help people in that way. I think it's, because it's so specific.
Yes. And I think it's so wonderful that the day and age that we live in, that you can help people all over the world through the internet. Yes, I just think that's amazing. Like I launched my show 5 years ago, 6 months after my son transitioned to spirit, and it was just a calling. It was a path. It was like, you must do this. And when you get that inner calling and you follow it, you don't know exactly where it's going to lead, but you know that you're doing what you came here to do, because we all have a unique purpose. And that's, I try to share that message with all my listeners. We all have a unique purpose, and you can find it by going within and tapping in and then living. When you're living your true purpose, it's a freedom. That's, to me, is true freedom.
You love what you do and you love every day. And, you know, that's another, you know, there's so many benefits to astrology, but that's another wonderful benefit, that it shows someone their specialness. It shows someone their uniqueness, particularly if they've had a, you know, very challenging childhood and they've always been told they weren't smart enough or good enough or pretty enough, or, you know, whatever it was, that stuff, that grunge that runs in people's heads.
Yes.
If you can shine a light on that unique divine spark for that person and say, you know, that childhood, because if I can see those challenges in the chart, then that means that soul had birthed knowing they were going to have to deal with those issues. They chose those issues. Otherwise, I couldn't see them in the chart.
Exactly. So
it can shift a whole person's perception of a really tough childhood from, gosh, that was horrendous and why me? You know, really bad luck, I'm playing the victim, to a sense of empowerment of, you chose that in order for you to shine your light more brightly on the world and help other people in similar situations. It was a fuel, it was a fertilizer for your soul's growth. And if you can get that shift in perception with it, that just turns their life around.
Yes, that is so true, because I knew at the moment my son transitioned into spirit that he wasn't gone. I knew it was a soul plan. I was actually reading a book titled Your Soul Plan and Your Soul's Gift by Robert Schwartz, who happened to be my very first guest back in 2015. So I was at peace. Now, for a mom to say they were at peace when their child transitioned, it was that understanding that this was a soul plan that he and I made. And I believe that no soul leaves. We're all divine beings. We're all divine soul. No soul comes into this life experience, or no soul leaves this life experience before their soul plan. They from a higher, their higher self perspective, not the human self, because no, we don't see it all. We don't see the big picture from our humanness, but our soul knows exactly why. And so it brings me, you know, joy to know that I know my son is still with me. He's still working. He loves the show, and he's my co-host.
Yes. I was going to say that, you know, he comes through you. He's bound to.
Yes.
You know, he can't not. You know, that
yes.
was part of the plan.
Wow. Yes. So it turns something that could be very tragic into a moment of really joy when you see that, okay, I planned this. You, like you said, you own your own power. You're not a victim. You are creating from your higher self that knows all and knows exactly why you're here. You're creating this reality. And when you take ownership of that, it's freedom. You know, it's no more playing the victim game. Yes,
that is so true. And when people can grasp, I mean, it's magnificent that you had the level of consciousness to understand that. Yes. And it's magnificent, because if you hadn't had that level of consciousness, you might have, you know, gone into victim, very understandably gone into victim much more. So, you know, for you and for many people, the worst thing that happens to them in life turns out to be the best, because it's some kind of transformation.
Yes.
And the whole thing about frequency, and I write about this, I think, in my second book, but when I moved into this house I'm living in, which I absolutely adore, 15 years ago, I had to have a lot of work done on the house. And everything started to go wrong. My car broke down, the washing machine broke down, the dishwasher, the boiler broke, you know, everything. And every workman I met was angry. Every workman that came to the house, they were almost quite threatening, quite intimidating. You know, the workman, the garage, the mechanics, everybody was angry. And I suddenly had this moment of thinking, I've got to stop this.
Okay.
It's my frustration with all of these people that keeps on keeping this whole thing running.
Exactly.
If to a, you know, to love and presence and stillness, I'll get nice workmen. It just worked like a dream. And I thought, that is a really, really valuable lesson for me. It's all about the universe being a mirror of my own frequency.
So, and I profoundly,
profoundly believe, because I see it all, you know, I can play with it, and it's quite helpful if people say, oh, you know, don't believe. It's quite helpful to say, okay, do it as a game for a while.
Yes.
Do it as a game, as an experiment, and just set a particular frame of mind of frustration and see what happens in the next few minutes. And then change it to gratitude and appreciation and see what happens then, you know, not right at that moment, but in the following days and weeks. And you start to realize you've got your control center here.
Yes.
It's not external, it's internal.
Exactly. Exactly. And like you said, when you were in that state of mind, the same, it was a different body, but the same energy person came, you know, a different workman. Just like the last one, you know, they're the same. And like people that have frustrations with relationships, and like, I keep attracting the same kind of man. I keep attracting the same kind of woman. And then what's the common denominator is you. Yes. Absolutely. So it is coming from you. Exactly. Exactly.
Absolutely. And very often with clients, I can actually show them that it's a particular transit, like it's, you know, Saturn transit, or if it's drinking, you know, an addiction, it can be a Neptune transit that keeps coming around, or people keep cutting off from her, you know, firing her, abandoning her. It can be a Uranus transit. I talk about one of those in the first book, actually. But if I can give the dates and the events and see, make him or her realize that it's a repeating cycle until she gets it.
Yes.
Once they get it, they break the pattern.
Yes.
And then everything changes. You know, they stop living the negative aspect of that symbolism. They start to live the positive.
Exactly. Exactly. When you, like, when you understand that you have the power within to turn things around, you're creating this from within. So when you own that power, you also have the power to change it. So yes.
Totally, totally. And that's, you know, what a lot of my work is about. And increasingly, when I have client sessions, it's less about the pattern in their birth chart. It's much more about the frequency.
Yes. Because,
you know, we can have a fabulous life with any chart. Yes. We can have a terrible life equally. You know, if you look at Hitler's chart, it was, you know, it was actually, he was a steady Taurus with a Libra and ascendant, both ruled by Venus.
Okay.
You know, it's our level of consciousness with right. which play the music. You know, we can play the music with a couple of tin spoons, we can play it with a London Philharmonic, we can have a big life, we can have a little life. It's down to our level of consciousness, and that's where we have latitude, we have free will. So that's where the work is. The work isn't in what's my pattern, the work is in much more what's my frequency.
Exactly. And that's where it comes to that now moment, I think, because in each now moment is where we can focus on raising. That's where our power is in this now moment, is to raise our frequency. And it's so important, I believe, for 2020 and on, to keep our frequency high so we can live the life we want to experience, because we're living it from our frequency, our core frequency. We're all energy resonating at a frequency. Science, now science is even talking this. And it was science that woke me up. I studied metaphysics and spirituality off and on for 30 years. And there was a missing piece for me. And that missing piece I got from quantum physics, understanding that everything is energy and that energy is all connected. That energy is one thing. And that was an aha moment for me in 2007, watching What the Bleep. I'm like, and it was an awakening from inside, not intellectual awakening. It was a heartfelt awakening. And once I understood the interconnectedness of all things and that all things are just one, everything made sense to me. All my questions were answered with that one understanding for me. So that's what, you know, I really love sharing. And even in, I heard you speak about, in the last video I heard you do, speak about the oneness. Yes. And I was like, yes, I see. And I understand. It's just so important. And I try to keep it simple. I always say it's really simple. Try to look at it. We can make it complicated, or we can just look at it from the simplest understanding of oneness and unity. And oneness and unity consciousness. Because right now, the world for many, many eons has been under living the collective consciousness has been of separation consciousness. Yeah. Now, once we awaken to unity consciousness, we're going to be living an entirely new existence.
Yeah, absolutely, 100%. And that separation is very emphasized at the moment because Saturn has been moving through Capricorn. And Saturn is about walls, borders, boundaries, divisions. You're different from me. You know, the Mexico-US war, Brexit, you know, increased nationalism of countries.
Yes.
People seeing other people as different from self, whereas we are all one. We are all human. We are all united. And I think if you live from separation, it's such a depressing place to be.
Exactly.
Because you feel alone. You know, you feel isolated and you feel alone. And as soon as you can feel a sense of interconnectedness, I mean, astrology is the language of interconnectedness.
Yes.
Totally. You can't be alone. You know, you're connected to everyone. And that's why you want to share and help and not do things so much for yourself, but because, you know, if you help other people, somehow that love comes back to you as well. But that isn't the motive.
Right.
You want to give because you know you're connected and you want to help if people
exactly.
are
in. Exactly.
So it's very much the language. And in the first book, I wrote a lot about this and how, you know, how the planets are so connected to everything in nature, you know, the circadian cycle, how our biomarkers change with that circadian cycle, day and night, you know, blood pressure changes, urine markers change. We are plugged into planets. And, and that can be, you know, measured, particularly the sun and moon. And it's very interesting, information is carried by light, as I'm sure you know. And the sun sends us biophotons, which go through the skin and give us information.
Okay.
So, you know, we are so interconnected with that. And we're linked to the Schumann resonance of the earth, which which has been 7.83 hertz historically. And there was an experiment, I think it way back in the 50s, where a professor took a group of students who volunteered to go into this kind of bunker for several weeks, and they were cut off. It was a lead bunker, and they were cut off from the Schumann resonance of the earth. And very quickly, they became very depressed. They started to have all kinds of mental problems, physiological problems. And unbeknown to the students, the professor, I think it was Professor Weaver, he put in through a device, the natural rhythm of the earth, the natural heartbeat of the earth, the Schumann resonance, into the bunker without telling them. Okay. And all of them started to get back to normal.
Wow.
So our plugging into the earth, our connection to the earth, particularly if you can be barefoot on the earth, but even if you're just living on the earth and not from it, is so vital. And again, you know, we ignore this at our peril.
Yes, 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 yes. And I love, like you said, I live in the Poconos, and right now we've got about 6 inches of snow on the ground, so I can't put my feet on the earth right now in the winter. But in the spring, summer, when in the fall, there's a lake nearby. I love going to the lake. It's the water, just watching the water, ripples on the water. It's meditating and soothing to me. And I love to kick off my sandals and put my feet right on the grass and just put my feet on Mother Earth. Just can't do it this time of year here.
No,
I think I'll get frostbite on my toes.
I don't know if you looked at a site called groundology.com or groundology.co.uk, because what they do on that site, it's fabulous. They take a blood sample of an average person, and it can look a bit clumpy and, you know, not very healthy. They then just get them to stand on the grass for 45 minutes and they take a second blood sample. And the blood completely different. It's free flowing, it's viscous, it has a totally different quality to the clumped blood cells from 45 minutes ago. And all they've done is stand on the grass, because our bodies suck up negative ions, which are the healing ions, from the earth. And the earth is a massive body of healing if we can connect to it.
Wow. Well, you mentioned the negative ions, because and even on my birthday this past week or two ago, I spent 45 minutes in a salt room, Himalayan salt room.
Fabulous.
Yes. And in September, after my second time in the salt room, I went out and there was this discount store that had all these salt lamps for $5.99. I mean, and I got 6 of them, and then I got a 7th. So I have a salt lamp. I'm looking at one right now, a Himalayan salt lamp in almost every room of the house.
Me too.
Yes. So that's also the negative ions that, especially I keep it around electronics. So I have it in my office where I have computers, in my family room where I have the big screen TV. I keep it near all the electronics. So yes.
Yeah, very important. And that can be our antidote. You know, I was just talking today, actually, I did my film update today, which will go out at the weekend. And I was talking about how nature is divine consciousness, because I believe there's consciousness in every living being, you know, moss, snails, you know, even crystals, everything. And therefore, if we can keep on connecting to that divine consciousness, we will do very well. It's when we get cut off with gadgetry, etc., that we start this sort of sense of disconnection. So, you know, I am madly busy through my days, but I will always take an hour to be in nature. Always. Yes. I can't function without it, because that's my decompression.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I know what you're saying. I love nature too. I wish I could go. I could probably just put on a warm coat and sit by the lake even in the winter. I've done that once or twice, but I'm not a fan of the cold.
In England, you have nature, so I go out in every weather. Isn't a day I miss either cycle or walk in the woods or something. So it's hard to put my feet on the ground in winter, but at least I'm physically out in nature.
Oh, you remind me of my neighbor. I have a neighbor that does that, and she walks I don't care what the weather, you see her walking. She has to, and she told me the other day, it's her meditation. Doesn't matter what the weather, she's out there walking. Yeah. And I'm like, wow, she's a brave soul. I'll walk when the weather's nice. But she walks in every kind of weather. Yes.
I never miss a day to be in nature because I so need that as my touchstone.
Yes.
You know, my recharge, if you like.
Yes.
My very, very busy day's work with hundreds of emails. And, you know,
yes.
That's my nurturing, if you
yes.
like, before I start to give out to others.
And I want to go back to what you said about there being consciousness and life in everything. And that's actually modern. I mean, that's like seventh grade science. And I say seventh grade science because in seventh grade, my science teacher said nothing is truly solid when we were studying atoms. And you put anything under a high-powered microscope, what do you see? You see tiny move, and they're moving. That's life. Tiny moving particles that we call atoms. And now, I don't know how long ago, but more recently, they discovered within an atom is 99.99999% empty space.
Yes.
So
yes.
that yes. particle that we're calling an atom that connects, that builds everything, is actually empty space. It's energy. And so all of this has been proven scientifically. It's been proven scientifically that everything has life in it. A rock. Everything has life, and all that life is interconnected, and it's simple science. I'm not a scientist, and I gave a talk at a Unity church not long ago, and an older lady came up to me and she said, "You made that science seem so simple and understandable." And I'm like, that's kind of my goal, is to I'm not a scientist. I don't talk about it scientifically from a scientist perspective. It's confusing. But when you talk about it in simple seventh grade science, people can like, yeah, that's true, you know.
Right. And if you flew through an atom with a camera taking pictures all the time, there'd be nothing on the film when you got to the other end.
Exactly.
But we have this illusion of solidity, you
yes.
know, which takes us to this very solid 3D world. And I think we're, you know, we're gradually moving away from that, because with all the planets gradually this year moving out of Capricorn, which is, you know, density, heavy industry, fossil fuels, permanent bricks and mortar, owning a house for life, you know, all of those things,
right.
we are going to be moving into a very different era of interconnectedness and altruism and humanitarianism. So where people are less separate
yes.
and more sharing and helping each other, you know, more to do with the collective and community and finding like-minded people. And so it's a very, very different energy we're moving into.
Yes. Yes. Tell us more about that. Because, and I'm actually Capricorn. I'm a Capricorn. My birthday was January 12th, just a few weeks ago. And I like being Capricorn, but I never felt like I was a typical Capricorn, but yes.
No, because there are about 3,000 variables in every birth chart. So
yes.
the sun sign. You might just have the sun in Capricorn, but you know, you've got so much else to look at. I mean, when I'm preparing a chart, it will take me 6 to 7 hours to prepare a chart.
Wow.
Before I see the client.
Wow.
You know, it's very, very detailed. I'm kind of doing math and analysis all of that time. And I'm quite
wow.
quick at it now, but I mean, it's a lot of information to analyze. So yes, I mean, this shift at the moment, we've got a real weighting of planets in Capricorn. You know, we've got Jupiter, Saturn, Pluto, South Node, Mars is going to move in February. We've got, you know, Chariclo, which is the antidote to all this other heavy yang energy. But gradually those planets are going to be moving out. I mean, the moon in Aquarius, the new moon in Aquarius, which we're going to have on Friday,
mm-hmm.
that is a glimpse of Aquarian energy. That's our
okay.
first glimpse. And then Saturn in sort of early summer moves for about 3 months, I think it's May to July, into Aquarius, another glimpse of what's coming, then backs up into Capricorn. And then Saturn and Jupiter move into Aquarius fully in December 2020. And then Pluto finally starts 2023, finally in 2024, moves into Aquarius from Capricorn as well, and will stay in Aquarius, Pluto, until 2040.
Okay.
So this is a whole new paradigm. And that Jupiter-Saturn conjunction in December this year, that happens every 20 years, but for hundreds of years, it's happened in Earth signs.
Okay.
I think it's been 800 years since it happened in an air sign.
Okay.
And what it tends to start is a new worldview, a new social worldview, if you like. And because it's in air, an Aquarius is going to be very much about technology. They are going to be huge innovations, medicine, quantum physics, genetics, transport is going to be, you know, almost you could teleport. It's going to be so fast. There'll be flying cars, everything will be electrified and digitized, massive jumps in computerization, technology. We are moving into a super fast world. So we're going to leave a lot of this density behind, and people will be a lot less interested in long-term ownership and much more interested in relationship and experiences between each other. So, you know, you're getting a glimpse of this now. Things like Airbnb, B&B, where you just go to a place for a short time and have an experience. You know, you don't buy a house there. You know, so it's going to be much more transitory, and it's going to be much more intellectual, but it is going to be hopefully much more altruistic and humanitarian as well. So we're going to lose this top down, eventually, not till 2024 fully, but we're going to be losing this top down law and order, rules and regulations, I'm telling you, you know, that we've got at the moment, this patriarchy.
Right.
And it's very interesting that when Pluto moves into a sign, and it does that for 20 or 30 years, it's very slow moving, 248 year orbit, it will bring the symbolism of that sign to the extreme, but it will also shine a light on the shadow side. So if we look at Capricorn, Capricorn being leadership, government, top-down energy, you know, the patriarchy, the way it's always been in government and corporations, big institutions, that sort of thing. Okay. Now, Pluto will tend to take that to the extreme by almost giving the leaders even more power, allowing authoritarianism, if you like.
Okay.
So almost they have the last gasp and the last grasp of power. But at the same time, it will illuminate where any leader or government or corporation has been lacking in integrity, transparency, accountability, etc. Because what Pluto does is deconstruct all the way down, break it down before it reconstructs a new order. I mean, if you were often use the analogy of a tree falling in a wood and rotting down completely to give new fertile soil. But it's a better analogy maybe is if you're going to have a new kitchen fitted, you just hack out half of your old kitchen units and try and fit the new units on top. You take all of the old stuff out.
Exactly.
Before you put the new stuff in. So that's the process of Pluto. And it can feel really tough that it's stripping you down to the bare bones.
Yes.
But then it's like the myth of Persephone when she goes down to Hades and crosses the Styx. It's all very dark and scary, but then she comes back up to the light and she's transformed. And that's the process of Pluto. So, you know, I'm constantly saying to people, don't worry if, you know, your government's dysfunctional, in turmoil, and, you know, things are all over. It's meant to be happening. Just understand that's and don't fret. Don't waste worry on it. It's meant to be happening. Come back to your anchor, because that's what's reliable and steady and always there for you.
I agree with you 1,000%. I believe everything is happening in perfect divine timing. Even when President Trump got into office in 2016, I don't watch news, so I didn't know that day who had won the election. I stopped watching. Spirit told me to stop watching news in 2001. Now, people will say my head is in the sand. No, it's not. I know exactly what's going on in the world, and whatever I need to know, that information comes to me. So I'll never forget that day, the day after the election in 2016. I wrote in Bernie. I was thinking, oh, maybe we'll have the first writing candidates. I wrote in Bernie Sanders. And it's like, okay. So the next day, I don't watch news, but I was on just Facebook for check my Facebook page for a second, and just from the few comments I saw on Facebook, I got the sense, I think even before I went to bed, I got the sense that Donald Trump was going to win. I didn't have the news until I teach piano lessons. My first piano student came that day, 7-year-old little boy, and he's coming in all pouty. And I'm saying, what's wrong? Donald Trump won. I'm like, and I laughed. I'm like, here's a 7-year-old fretting. What's a 7-year-old has to worry about Donald Trump being in the world? I laughed. I said, honey, it's okay. Everything is in perfect order. Everything happens for a reason. And Spirit had already, before I had gotten the news that Donald Trump was our new president, Spirit had already told me everything is happening exactly the way it's supposed to happen. And I got the sense that he's in office to shake things up. He's like that sledge. When you're getting a new kitchen, he's like the sledgehammer breaking down that old kitchen. Yeah. So exactly. I was like, everything is happening exact. So that's why it's so important, I think, in this year and in the next few years to stay grounded in raising our frequency, because we got to be the eye of the storm. You know, there's going to be chaos happening all around. We have to be that eye. We have to be that stillness, that calm in the center of the storm.
That's our task. If we just focus on that and nothing else, the world will be a better place.
Yes.
If we can raise our frequency, each one of us as an individual, we'll raise the collective frequency. Exactly. And things will unfold in the world much less dramatically. Yes. And many spiritual leaders are now saying that if just 1% of the world's population can raise their frequency, there's enough to raise the collective consciousness. And apparently, you know, I'm hearing that we're way beyond that 1%.
Exactly. We have crossed that threshold, which is, like you said, a very small percentage. Like it's like even thinking of a pond, and you just drop a tiny drop in a pond and that ripples to the edges of the entire pond. So it's just a very small percentage because of our interconnectedness. It just takes a very small percentage to change. And I think there was an experiment called the 100 monkey effect.
Yes, that was fascinating. I can't remember the island, but the monkeys used to eat sweet potatoes, but they're often covered in dirt. So one very super smart Mensa monkey took her sweet potato down to the sea and washed it. And within a very short space of time, monkeys on other islands started to do exactly the same thing. So in the collective unconscious of monkeys, you know, there's obviously a link without telephones or letters or emails. So, you know, this is how it works. So the ability to work energetically is so powerful. You know, if you look at the work, I don't know if you're familiar with a lady called Lynn McTaggart.
I have to share this. Lynn, she's been a guest on my show, but she made the quote that was my awakening moment. It was in What the Bleep. She said, the biggest problem in the world is the illusion of separateness. And when Lynn said just that sentence, something woke up inside of me. Yes, I'm very, very familiar with Lynn. But share.
The thoughts become things. And as you'll know from her book, The Intention Experiment, she's done so much work to, you know, get groups of meditators to focus on peace in the Middle East. And they dramatically reduced violence in the Middle East over that period. It was all a controlled study, etc. So she has done amazing. I remember being, because I've done quite a bit of work with her. I remember this was some years ago, and there was a chap in America who'd been in the Iraq War. Mm-hmm. And he was suffering badly from PTSD. And he agreed to be part of this experiment. So there was a split screen, the meditators all got online, you know, I think it was Zoom, and we could see this chap, I think his name was Todd, and he had electrodes attached to his brain. Right. So we were watching his brain waves come out, you know, all very high beta and obviously very panicky and anxious. And she told all of the meditators, myself included, to just focus on taking him down into low alpha and ideally down into theta. And so that's what we focused on. She said, every couple of minutes, open your eyes and see how you're doing, because the line, his brain waves, will appear on the screen. And within 2 minutes, and this guy is thousands of miles away, he just dived from high beta into low alpha and then into theta. And we were just doing it, the meditators, you know, all of Europe, Australia, and we could help him energetically. Now people can say, well, that's just nuts. You know, there was no direct contact, you know, but space doesn't matter.
Exactly. Yes.
No,
exactly.
So that's very, her work is very powerful. Her work,
yes,
is.
Yes. And she, like I said, it was her. I mean, I was watching, I don't know if you're familiar with the film, What the Bleep. And there's, yes, all these scientists in What the Bleep. And I watched every second of it and loved every second of the interview portion of it. And, but when she, that was that one sentence that woke up inside of me. She said, the biggest problem in the world today is the illusion of separateness. Mm-hmm. And that, I was like, that was my light bulb moment. So I credit that to Lynn, and I have had her as a guest on the show, and I have told her she was the key to my awakening, which was great. Yes.
And she's done, yes, so much more, you know, hard science with controlled studies.
Yes.
To make sure that her work is valid and yes, accepted by the spiritual, the scientific community.
So. Exactly, exactly. And this crossover between science and spirituality, it's like this. And so many wonderful scientists are even talking about this, scientists like Greg Braden and doctors like Dr. Joe Dispenza and Dr. Bruce Lipton. I've had Dr. Bruce on the show. So all of these, it's the, so for those skeptical people that are like, science is now teaching us this universal truth. So it's, absolutely, just, it's something to help, you know, help bring the momentum about for those people that like, they call spirituality and astrology and all that woo woo. But we're talking hardcore science here, you know. So.
Yeah. And what's, you know, what's very helpful for people, I wrote quite a lot about this in the first book about how I feel it operates. But basically the ancient Greeks, for instance, and a lot of the ancient peoples really believed there was a kind of downward causation, if you like, from divinity, whatever you want to call divinity,
right,
into the, what they called the implicate order, and all the way down to 3D reality. But right, that implicate order is pure potentiality. Yes. And, you know, even modern day quantum physics talk about that, that they're just, yes, waves of pure potentiality that are not made into an event or any kind of tangible matter until you put the focus on them. So exactly, astrology, somebody's birth chart is exactly like that. You know, the birth chart is pure potentiality,
exactly,
until you apply your consciousness to it.
Exactly.
And start, exactly, to use it, start to use it well or badly. But
exactly,
it's down to you to play the music. And so, you know, that, yeah, that quantum physics model, but also the ancient Greek model, and actually I think if you go back to, you know, the Vedas,
right,
they have the same kind of model of reality. Astrology fits perfectly, whether it's ancient or leading edge science. Because
exactly,
the potentiality that you empowered human being, are bringing into reality in every moment. We're dreaming our future into reality in every moment. And I think we often think that the future is set, like we're walking onto a film set, and we're not. It's just, it's nothing, it's just ether.
Yes.
Until we apply our consciousness, our intention, our visualization, and off we go. And we pull it out of the quantum soup into reality.
Yes. I love to say we are creating the dream. This is a dream, and we're creating the dream from our, you know, own consciousness. And our consciousness, see, another thing that was a good awakening for me, I mean, like many of us have been brought up in traditional religion. I never was a Catholic, but I was sent to Catholic school for 6 years. So I had a religion in class every day for 6 years. It never resonated with me from a very young child. I couldn't speak that. I couldn't say that because my father was, children to be seen, not heard. So I'm just thinking, nah, this doesn't, but I couldn't vocalize it. But I say that to say that when I understood the truth of oneness, it brought God from up there judging me to down here. There's no separation. And I think that's, you know, with traditional, and I have the utmost respect for all religions. But in traditional religions, we tend to separate that God is up there and you're down here and he's up there judging everything you do. And he's going to punish you if you're a bad girl or boy. And no. God is here. God is a part of you. You are a part of God. And in essence, I love Rumi's quote, you're not a drop in the ocean. you are the entire ocean in the drop because it's holographic. And what I understood what holographic means is a tiny, tiny drop. We are a tiny, tiny drop of God. All of God is in each of us. So just like what Rumi was saying, all of the ocean is in one tiny drop, the entire ocean.
And so, it's really interesting because I talk about this actually in the first book, that when I initially look at a birth chart, that is also like a hologram because I can start at any point in the chart, any point. I can look at midpoints, I can look at harmonics, I can look at aspects, I can look at how's it, I can start anywhere, but that will lead me to the same essence of that person.
Yes, yes, so true, so true. It's holographic. So I say my definition of who we are holographic, multidimensional aspects of God, all that is. I like to say my term for God is all that is. There's nothing outside of God. Everything is an aspect of God. So I try to bring it to my audience in a way that they can understand it from a very simplistic scientific level and spirit, and see how spirituality and ancient wisdom and science are now all telling us the same thing.
Absolutely. Yes. And yeah. And I truly believe that as we're shifting our frequency through the day, in every moment, we are jumping levels. We're jumping through parallel realities in every moment. So we are constantly multidimensional beings, but we just don't have very much awareness of it. We think we're rooted in this 3D reality. But if we can go into our meditations and find that place of stillness and peace, instantly our frequency will change and we are living on a different level.
Exactly.
And I remember I followed the work of Dr. Joe Dispenza, who's a genius for a very long time. He gave me a testimonial, actually a quote from my first book, which I was very grateful for. But I was at one of his workshops, and I've never forgotten it, because often they're big healings that happen in the workshops because people are changing frequency so easily with the group energy.
Yes.
And there was one lady who stood up to speak, and she'd had a pretty serious cancer and was now clear. Mm-hmm. And I remember Dr. Joe saying to her, "And is there still a Sue in another reality that still has cancer?" And I've never forgotten, that was many years, probably 15 years ago, because I started to study with him about 20 years ago. But I've never forgotten that, you know, if we can change our reality and get to a higher pitch, not only may we solve our physical problems,
yes,
solve an awful lot of other issues as well. I mean, we much more become pure essence,
yes,
to shine a light in the world, because we're brighter, we have more light in our bodies,
yes,
more light in our energy fields. So yeah, that really, I pondered that for years and years and years, and yes, got me, yes, to a very good place.
And it's very hard, I get it in my heart level, but it's very hard for humans to understand that there's many, just like there's multiple dimensions, there's multiple us. Yes. So there's a, you know, there's an us that, like you said, there's an us that still has that cancer. But what are we experiencing? It's what we're experiencing, what we're the vibrational match to.
Yes.
So, and it all exists in the now.
Yeah, just, you know, a frequency match. Yes. Everything is a frequency match.
Yes, it's a frequency.
You know, that's a very exciting and empowered way to live. So, you, yes, know, if life is getting messy in your own personal reality, don't try and kind of fix stuff on the outside. Just get inwards. Just get to a, you know, a higher place, and things just resolve. And, you know, yes, often if there's a, you know, struggle with anyone in my life, which is a pretty rare thing, I will just send them love.
Yes.
I won't try and analyze, I won't try and argue, you know, I'll send them love. And it's remarkable how, yes, the situation changes and softens, yes, a lot. Yes. So love is, you know, some wise person said, whatever the question, love is always the answer. And it really is.
It truly is. Truly, mm, is. Because love and gratitude are the highest vibration. Yeah. To be in a state of love and be thankful for what is, yes, like the highest vibration. I'm sure, are you familiar with Dr. Emoto's work, yes, with water?
Yes. Wonderful. Yes. I went to a talk of his actually just soon before he died, and I again I quote his work in my first book.
Yes.
Because that's proof of how our frequency is being broadcast all of the time. We're broadcasting anger, or we're broadcasting love. And I mean, those crystals were extraordinary.
Yes.
You know, whether they were beautiful symmetry or whether they were ugly and misshapen, it was just, I mean, you know, that is tangible proof.
Exactly.
What our energy manifests. Yeah, absolutely. Yes.
And we are just like Mother Earth. Gaia is like 70-75% water. So are we. We're the same percentage of water. We're mostly water. And you see what his water experiment says. I buy spring water, I take off the store-bought label, and I will label all my water with I love you.
Yeah.
Thank you, I love you, on all my water bottles. And I've got my girlfriend, we were going to the gym working out, I had my labeled water bottle. She's like, what, you write love notes to your water? I'm like, yeah, it's a lie.
It worked for Dr. Emoto, you know, he had so much evidence, but it worked for him. You know, that's what's happening in our
life.
And the more like you that we become aware of that, the more we are living in awareness and consciousness.
Yes.
And that's a very high vibrational state. So wonderful.
Yes. Great. Yes. Now you have mentioned, you're an author. Now you've mentioned your first book, but you haven't shared the name of the book. Share the name of your books with us, starting from the first, and how we can find them. Also your website, how people, and your YouTube. You're doing amazing work. So please share that with the listeners.
Well, the books, the first one is called You Don't Really Believe in Astrology, Do You?
Okay.
And I had to call it that because I've been asked that question probably thousands of times. You know, I'd meet up with people in some social setting, and, you know, if I happened to mention my first two careers, they obviously thought, well, she's, you know, reasonably competent. But if I said what I was doing now as an astrologer, they instantly thought I was remedial or in need of therapy. And, you know, they kind of say in a conspiratorial whisper, you don't really believe in astrology, you know, you're conning everyone. You know, it was just extraordinary. So because there was such a grand canyon of misunderstanding between the mainstream world and how I was living my life, I had to write the book and use that title, You Don't Really Believe in Astrology, Do You? And what that book does is really share the depth and the breadth of what this subject is in various ways. I do talk about ancient Greek theory, I talk about quantum physics, I talk about energy, I talk about frequency, you know, many of the things we've discussed in this interview, I talk about. And then the second book I wrote a couple of years later, and it's called How to Co-Create Using the Secret Language of the Universe. And what I wanted to focus on is an area of the chart that is almost neglected in Western astrology, but is the most important thing by far in Indian, in Vedic astrology. Okay. And it's the nodal axis of the moon, because in India, they believe in reincarnation. So just as you were saying earlier, the soul weaves a tapestry through many, many lifetimes.
Yes.
And so the nodal axis is really a study of what your soul has brought into this lifetime from previous lifetimes, the gifts, the skills, the abilities, and where you have to go in virgin territory to create soul's growth in this life. Yes. And I wanted to make it very practical. So it was kind of tricky because it was a very deep dive into one of the deepest soul parts of yourself.
Yes.
I wanted to make it practical. So I've got a worksheet in it. People can print out free birth charts from my website. And they can look at their own charts and say, okay, where's my nodal axis? They can read the descriptions in the book, but there are other parts of the picture I put together for people that will give several different astrological variables that help. I mean, I can't believe how well that book's done.
Wow.
I can't believe it because, you know, a couple of months before I had it published, I thought, this just isn't good enough. I'm going to chuck it in the bin. And a couple of good friends said, no, you know, don't do that. And I'm really glad I didn't, because it's helped so many people really find their soul's purpose in this life.
Awesome.
So that's the second book. So the first one's probably a little more theoretical, second one more practical, but the first one has some very big ideas in that. Anyway, you can get them both from my website, pamgregory.com, or you can get them from Amazon. either way. And I also have a lot of teaching videos that if you just go onto the products page of pamgregory.com, you can find that. And I also write about a 7,000 word newsletter every month. And that's about £15 for the year. $1 for the year. So it's, you get a lot of information for it, for not a lot of money.
Yes.
What I do through the month is, you know, each month I'm kind of projecting the energies that are coming up for the world. Okay. And during that next month, I observe what's happening in the world. So it's like the proof of the pudding coming back to us. Okay. So whether it's the riots in Hong Kong, whether it's, you know, something happening in America, whether it's the earthquake in, you know, wherever, Hawaii or Indonesia, Philippines, you know, I will look in detail at things like astrocartography and you know, so it gets into quite a bit of detail. Various global events to give people the proof of the pudding of what was anticipated the month before. And then I do projections for the upcoming month. So it's a brilliant way for people to learn astrology, because I'm talking, you know, the astrological symbolism quite fully there. And it takes me quite a long time to put together, probably 4 or 5 days a month, because I do a lot of research. I mean, for the Saturn-Pluto conjunction, I went back to 1285.
Doing
it. Wow. So it's a deep dive into what happened before, what happened after that, and what happened after that, and what, and where are we now in that cycle?
Yes.
So, it, you know, there isn't a cheaper newsletter on the market, I don't think.
No, it's beautiful. I think definitely it's totally, you know, I love the fact that you are doing that. You're showing, okay, this is what the deep astrology is showing us, and here's what happened from that. That's such amazing. And that's, you know, as humans, we like to see that. And so that is great that you're doing that. That the weekend of my birthday, which my birthday is January 12th, and that weekend, that weekend, the 10th, 11th, and the 12th, I think that's when I listened to you. Not the first time, I think I, but that's that particular one, the, your reading on that weekend, I think I listened to it before that weekend, because I knew that for my birthday, I was going to do nothing but be in a meditative state. And I went to a local spa that had a salt room. I spent 45 minutes meditating in the salt room. I spent the hour meditating in the sanctuary. I spent the 20 minutes meditating in the sauna, detoxing. It was just like a complete meditation day, and that was on the 12th. But also the 11th, the 10th and 11th, because the full moon was on the
lunar eclipse. Yeah, 20th council was on the 10th. And the then 10th. Uranus and Eris went stationary direct on the 11th.
Right.
Saturn Pluto conjunction, which would have been on your sun, in fact. So big thing for you. Yes. Yeah, absolutely. It was massive. And the best use of that time by far was in meditation.
Oh, very good. That's where I grounded myself. I said, this is a high energy weekend and it's my birthday. So I am going to soak it in. Yes. Please share with our listeners one more time how they can find you. I will make sure there's links down below, but share with our listeners where they can find you.
Okay, fantastic. So my website is pamgregory.com. And they can subscribe to the newsletter on any page on my website, and they can order the books, they can order the teaching videos from there. My YouTube channel is Pam Gregory Astrology, so that's very easy to find. I put out updates twice a month. I'm very consistent in doing that, so you know that really is building very, very well. I'm taking a break from client work because I've been working 7 days a week. Long hours for as many years as I can possibly remember. And yes, I have to change that. One of the big things that those transits in January did, it's a pivot point for many people in their lives. If they've been doing mundane stuff or not really working, they'll go into very meaningful work. You know, for other people, it's if they've been working extremely hard, yes, doing that, they will get a better life work balance, and that's what I've absolutely got to have.
Okay.
Very big health aspects coming up this year, so I have to have better self-care. So that's why I'm taking a long break from client work, but there's tons of other information out there that people can benefit from.
Yes. And I agree. I kind of got that sense too, especially with it being my birthday weekend. Self-care was, I've got to, because I, the same way, I love what I'm doing. When I think when you know what your calling is, your mission is, doing the work, it's not hard, but you can't forget about self-care. Self-care is very important, because you can't really help feed others if you don't feed yourself.
You know, even having 2 days off a week like normal people do.
Yes.
Awesome. You know, I can't really do that because I get several hundred emails every day before I start my day's work. So I can't really take 2 days off. But nevertheless, to cut back on the volume is what I'm trying to do going into this year. So, you know, sadly, I'm not offering client sessions this year, but there's a lot of other stuff you can learn from.
Yes. Well, thank you so much, Pam, for shining your light and being in such a, you know, you bring so much realism, I want to say, to astrology. Because I've always known there's something to astrology, and it's more than just what they write in the newspaper every day. It's just, you know, it's so much more, because it is all interconnected. We are connected not just to Mother Earth, but we're connected to all of the planets. We are connected to the universe. So it is all interconnected. And it is, and if we take time to really go within and then, you know, do our own, I always tell everybody, I don't consider myself a teacher or a guru or anything like that. I'm just sharing what resonates as true for me and living my truth. And I just inspire everybody to go within, tap into their inner wisdom, and live their truth. And I love the fact that your work is available for them to find on the internet. And I think we're awakening slowly but surely. We're all being that drop.
Yeah, we're going to be big waves of awakening this year, particularly around springtime, but like it's going to come in waves through the year.
Yes.
Big shifts in energy and consciousness.
Awesome. Very, very good. Well, thank you so much for being my guest. I am so happy. I'm hoping I don't feel, I'm not really sick. I don't claim sickness, but I do feel like a little frog in my throat, so I hope I'm sounding okay.
Yeah, you are. You're sounding wonderful.
Okay.
Well, real joy to spend time with you, Caroline.
Thank you so much, Pam, and we will keep in touch. Thank you so much.
Wonderful. Thank you. Blessings. Have a wonderful day.
You too, and you have a wonderful evening, because it's night there.
It is. Absolutely. Take good care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.